Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to 30 Awesome, Create Your Best Year Yet with the 30-something Coach here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something Coach, and I'm so happy to be here today on the cusp of the new year talking to you about how to make 2014 really great. And this is a time of year that so many of us are thinking, kind of reflecting on the year that just happened and thinking about what we want the new year to bring. So it's a really great opportunity to think about our goals and how we can make them happen. And as I said, I'm Carrie Spaulding. I'm the 30-something coach. So I help 30-somethings who aren't who or where they want to be or who or where they maybe thought they'd be with their careers, relationships, and lives. And often my clients are experiencing 30-something panic and feeling like they should have figured it all out by now. So what I do is I help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they want in their lives. And that's actually kind of in a big picture what we're going to be talking about today. So sometimes that involves navigating major transitions like career changes or breakups or big moves. And I also focus on helping 30-somethings create and nurture healthy and satisfying relationships. Another big passion of mine is supporting parents with building a positive home culture and navigating children's social and emotional challenges, building resilience, and communicating effectively with their kids and with each other. I live in Philadelphia, and I do most of my coaching over the phone, which means that I get to work with people all over the world, and I really love that. You can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com, CarrieSpaulding.com. And you can also reach me there and sign up for free tips and tools at that website. You can connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach. And on Twitter, I'm at Spaulding Carrie. Again, it's SpaulDingCarrie. So I'm very, very excited to be here talking with you. If you're a regular listener to my show, you're probably recognizing that my voice sounds a little funny today. I, like many people, have succumbed to some winter germs. So I'm going to do my best to speak, and hopefully the cough monster will. But I am really excited to be here talking to you about how to use 30-something panic as a catalyst to create your best year yet. And we're going to talk about 5 steps that you can take to design that year. Just to talk for a minute about what 30-something panic is. This is my term for that feeling of, oh my goodness, I should have figured it out by now. Sometimes I say, 30 what? You know, I'm not who or where I thought I'd be. What if I don't figure it out? And the new year, especially the holidays, can be a big trigger for this 30-something panic. Because the holidays, no matter how old we are, often kind of serve as a marker in our lives. So we might say, last Christmas, you know, we remember who or where we were. And, you know, if we're in the same place that we were last year, that can feel really uncomfortable. If something has changed but we don't like the change, we can feel really aware of that. Or last New Year's or last Thanksgiving or whatever it is, the holidays tend to be a big marker in our lives. And it's really normal to have that feeling of sort of wanting to make a change, especially as you head into a new year. So when we're young, most of us develop an image of what a quote-unquote real grown-up is, and most of us carry a picture in our mind of what we'll do and be and have when we've arrived at true adulthood. All right, so we have a picture, and it comes from all kinds of places, from our own hopes and dreams, from other people's hopes and dreams for us, from the models we have in our lives, so how did our parents do things, the messages that we get from our parents, our teachers, the media. And when we carry that picture of what we should be into our 30s, many of us end up feeling like either imposters or failures when what's happened doesn't measure up to that image. And that can show up in all kinds of ways. So it can show up in your career, maybe feeling like you aren't fulfilled or you're not achieving what you thought you would be achieving. It can show up in your relationships as well. So feeling like in some way your relationship, either you're not showing up in the relationship the way you want to, or you don't have a relationship and you never imagined still being single at this point. You thought that by the time you were in your 30s, you'd be in a relationship or maybe the relationship of your life that was going to be the one. It can show up in your home situation. So maybe you always imagined that your home would be a really different type of environment, or that you'd be living somewhere completely different, even geographically as far as your city or your town where you live. And it can show up with money. So maybe you notice some of your friends in a much stronger financial position for you, and it can be really painful to feel like you're not measuring up if you see that as a sign of success. So 30-something panic can feel like, what's wrong with me that I didn't figure it out, or what if I don't figure it out? I'm not even really sure what it is, but I know I don't have it. It's something that I've heard from a lot of people. So today I want to help you use that panic, if you're experiencing it, as a catalyst to create the change you want in your life, and to really encourage you to know that it's normal to be dealing with these questions. I talk with lots and lots and lots and lots of people who are in your shoes, who are dealing with the same struggles, and a lot of people think that they're the only ones having these feelings and thoughts, and you're not alone at all. And even if you're not feeling panicked, this is a time of year that many, many people like to set goals. So wherever you are with that, I'm going to teach you 5 steps that you can use to design your 30 awesome year. And the new year is just such a great time to take stock and set goals if you do it from a place of self-love and a clear mind, right, rather than a place of sort of berating yourself for what you're not or for what you didn't do or what you failed to do, and, you know, maybe making the same exact resolutions that you've made year after year. The idea here is to set goals from a clear mind and a place of self-compassion, and to actually make these goals achievable ones so that you can have the experience of success. So it's important to look back as well as look forward. And the first and really, you know, important not to skip step here is to spend some time mining the gold from 2013, or from if you happen to be listening to this in the archives in some future year, from the past year, to mine the gold from the past year, or even from the past years, plural. And I say that because many of you who are listening might be having what I call 20-something regret, feeling like there have been many years where you haven't quite figured things out the way you wanted to. And the way that you tell the story to yourself is so important. So last year was only a failure and a waste if you decide to think of it that way. No matter what happened last year, or what you did do or what you didn't do last year, the most wrong, quote-unquote, wrong year can be a really amazing indicator of the changes you're ready to make in your life. It can give you major clues about what you are capable of doing if you decide to make a change. And there's just so much growth and positive gold to be mined from even a very challenging year or a challenging decade. So to mine the gold, think about all of the things that happened in the last year, and you can look at that in a variety of ways. So some questions you can ask as you look back on the past year: what did you learn? What did you learn last year? You might even take some time to actually journal about these questions, you know, make a list, get it out of your head and down on paper, and then you'll be able to refer back to it. What are you proud of? No matter what happened last year, if you give yourself some time to reflect on it, I bet you that you'll be able to find some things that you're really proud of. they might not even be external things. They might not be outer things that you might have generally thought of as an accomplishment. They could be more internal things, or they could be things that you did for somebody else, or things that even that you did for yourself. What were the signposts in the last year that told you that you were either on path or off path? So looking back over 2013, or whatever year has just passed, what were the sort of the flags, the red flags, or the confirming signs that you were either not doing what you quote-unquote feel you're supposed to be doing, or that you were? And really take some time to think about that. One way to do that is to take a piece of paper and divide it down the middle, and on one side write the question, what was right, and on the other side write the question, what was wrong. And, of course, my belief is that none of these things were actually right or wrong. There's no judgment attached to whatever happened. But when I say right or wrong, for you, in terms of who you are and what resonates with you as feeling like you're on your purpose or you're living your best life, what was right, what felt really on, and what felt really off? And you can just give yourself the opportunity to write all of those things down. So just some thoughts specific to two areas that tend to come up the most with my clients and with people who write to ask me questions. The first area of relationships is one that people have a lot of about as they go into a new year. So for many people, dating is a series of experiences with the right-wrong people. By right-wrong people, I mean that you attract people into your life who have something to teach you or who can help you grow or change or discover more about yourself or you know, resolve issues that you have. And those relationships in the past and thinking about what you might have learned over the last year, even if you had a really troubling or challenging year, you can learn so much. You can learn what you want and need in a partner. You can learn how you show up in a relationship currently, what your patterns are. So maybe last year you had some incidents that helped you see your communication patterns or how you act in conflict or what your triggers are. You can learn what you don't want in a partner. Maybe you learned what qualities you want to really work on cultivating in yourself or what inner work you have to do so that you can attract the partner that you want. So those are just some things to think about if you're looking over the last year to mine the gold. So in terms of career, I work with a lot of people who feel really frustrated and sometimes even ashamed that they haven't figured out a clear, linear, upwardly mobile career path by whatever age they happen to be now, and tell themselves a failure story, like I just never figured it out or there just isn't a perfect job for me. So when you're mining the gold of 2013 or whatever the last year is, you can think about what you learned in the right-wrong job that you had last year. Or even if it's a job that you can plan to continue in, you can still ask these questions to help you mine the gold. So what skills or talents or qualities did you show last year? What patterns were there in the work that you liked and didn't like last year? What are the tasks and contributions that you made last year? 95% of what you did last year was not satisfying to you, or you didn't feel good at, or you just didn't feel engaged in. What are the 5% of tasks and contributions that really made you feel on purpose or on your game or like you really excelled? Even if you just can think of one project, that's the gold. That's one of the things that can kind of help you get a clue about what you want to bring more into your life in the coming year. So you can also think about what are the environments that really caused you to thrive over the last year. This is all information that can help you get clear for the new year, because one of the things I see again and again with clients and with sort of all the people in our 30-something tribe is that once we get clear and we get into action, which I know might feel really far away right now, there comes a tipping point where we realize how all the stuff that felt really wrong for us set us up for where we were supposed to be going all along. So here's a really great question that you can ask yourself for this first step of mining the gold. If you believed that last year was the perfect year to get you where you're going, what happened that made it that way? So no matter how challenging or unfulfilling or frustrating the year was, if you chose to believe that that year was the perfect year, it was exactly what you needed to get you where you're going, what are the things that made it that way? So, for example, you might want to fill in this sentence. Last year was the year I blank. Last year was the year, or this year that is just finishing, right, 2013, was the year I learned, the year I discovered, or last year was the year I confirmed. So maybe just to give you an example, last year was the year I confirmed that I'm ready for a career change. Or last year is the year I discovered that I have this particular issue that I want to work on in my relationship. So there's a lot of ways that you could fill in that sentence. But the purpose of this is that it gives your year purpose. And I talk with so many people who come to the end of the year, and what they're thinking of is lack. They're thinking of all the things they didn't do or that they didn't achieve. It's really important to give that experience that you've had over the last year real purpose. And you can do that by saying, last year was the year that this happened. And give yourself this feeling of closure around a year that was actually in some way supportive of your bigger journey. So you've taken some time to really mine the gold from the last year, looked at what you learned, what you're proud of, the signposts that were in the year, what felt right, what felt wrong. There's so many different questions you could ask yourself about this, and of course I'm just kind of giving you the quick take so that you can do some of this on your own. The next step is to really take an inventory of who you are at your core. Right, not what you're doing, but who you actually are, and how you're showing up, how much energy you're giving to different areas of your life right now. So, for example, one big part of this is looking at your values. And an exercise that you can do here is to take out a piece of paper or open up a new document and just, you know, write values on the top. And write down what are the values that are most important to you. You might even brainstorm a lot of values that are important to you and then circle the ones that sort of feel most important. So what are the values that you want to bring forward the most in your life? And, of course, this is helping you gear up to set some goals for the new year. Another thing you can do is ask yourself the question, how whole is your whole life? I heard this is an idea that lots of people talk about. This particular phrasing I first encountered in a book by Susan Jeffers, and I found it just so powerful. What a powerful question. How whole is your whole life? One way you can go about this, and actually if you want a simple tool for this that's already created, just email me and let me know that you heard this show and you want it, and I can send it to you. But you can draw a grid and enter in each section of the grid, enter the major categories of your life. So, for example, you might include relationships, career, money, time management, fun and enjoyment. So all of the things, the categories of your life. And then fill in the grid with the ways that you spent your time or the ways that you're currently spending your time, all the things you're doing to take care of or to give energy to each of those areas. So, for example, if you were talking about your relationships, and you know, you made an effort to call your mother once a week last year, you could write that in the grid. Or if one of the things that you're doing for your relationship is you just completed an online dating profile, you could write that in the grid. Everybody's different, but the idea is to actually write down what you're currently doing and how much energy. This can help you see how much energy you're currently giving to different areas of your life. So just taking an inventory of sort of how whole your whole life is, getting a sense of how balanced it is. Maybe there are some categories in the grid that are almost empty and others that are full to brimming. That can give you a pretty good snapshot of where you're putting your energy. And really taking some time to look at your values and who you are, what's most important to you, can be an important first step in getting ready for a new year. So this is work that can actually go pretty deep, and it's work that I encourage you. There are a lot of resources out there, and you can find a lot of resources on my website to help you, you know, get clear on some of this stuff. And just know that there, if you decide I really want to look at values work, there's lists that you can find and all kinds of stuff to help you. But it's so important because your values really are a big determining factor in your happiness. Because when our values are being met, we feel pretty good. And when our values aren't being met, or when two high values are in conflict with each other, then we tend to not feel so good. So once you've gotten some clarity around your values and how whole your whole life is, the next step is to create a vision. So the idea here is to create your 30 awesome life. What would an awesome life really mean to you? If you want this to be your 30 awesome year, how would you actually know that you had achieved that? So a couple steps to create that vision. Now that you've done the inventory of who you are and who you're being, you've looked back through your past year to mine the gold, you've kind of got already a helpful background to start thinking about the future. So one thing that you can do is do a goal spill, what I call a goal spill. Write down all the goals that you have, or just let yourself get it all out on paper. What are all of the things that I thought about doing, that I'd like to do, that I'm scared to do, the big things and the tiny things, and just get it all out. Doesn't mean that you're going to do all of those things, but just get everything that's been rushing around your head down on paper. And again, it's just to get everything from your head out on paper, because when we set goals, if we set 700 goals for the new year all at once, we're not setting ourselves up for success, but it's perfectly okay just to do a spill to get everything down. And then ask yourself, in all of the major areas of your life, the categories that we talked about before, so maybe your relationships, your career, your home, your health and wellness, your fun and enjoyment, what would the ideal look like for you? What are the things that you'd like to be able to say or experience or feel in each of those areas? You might refer back to the grid that you created before and fill it in again, you know, just to have this consistency of categories, and really ask yourself, what would the ideal career look like and be like? And just let yourself describe it. Write out a vision plan in detail and let yourself dream as big as you want to. So even if it feels impossible for you right now to, you know, maybe you're in a job that you really hate and you can't even imagine how you're going to go about finding a better one, give yourself permission to just kind of put reality aside and dream, because capturing that information is so important for getting you into action that's going to actually be the right action. What would the ideal look like in terms of your relationship, in terms of your home, in terms of your health and wellness? Specific as you can. So you might decide to write this in the first person, you know, I experience this, I do that. You might include values that are being met in each of these areas. You might include specific qualities of the career, the relationships, or things that you do, actions. And just give yourself some time to really create that vision of what you want in every area. And then a big part of this is to prioritize. So if you're taking the time to kind of dream up every area of your life, it can feel really overwhelming. So a way to kind of choose an area to focus in on is to ask, what is most important to me? So if only, maybe even only one of these areas, if I could increase my satisfaction in one of these areas, or if I could achieve my vision in one of these areas, which one would be most important to me? Another question to ask is, which of these areas will have the biggest impact on everything else in my life? So our lives, nothing in our lives exists in isolation. There's always a big ripple effect. So making positive changes in one area of your life will always impact other areas of your life as well. So you can ask yourself, which of these goals will have the biggest impact on everything else? And you might choose just one area. You might choose two or three areas. When you've done that goal spill, you've asked yourself for every major area, what does the ideal look like? What's my vision? And you've really given yourself the chance to do that, and you've prioritized. What's most important to me? What will have the biggest impact on everything else? It's time to really declare an intention. And this is kind of the counterpart to the mining gold declaration we talked about in the first step, or in the second step, where we said, last year was year I blank. You can say, this will be the year I blank. So this will be the year I get clear on what work that I want to do, or this will be the year I address my communication challenges or get support to work on my communication challenges. So there are a lot of ways that you could fill in that sentence, but again, giving yourself just one, two, or three powerful declarations can help you feel really focused, and it can help you prioritize and choose how you spend your time in the new year. So the next step is to identify one tiny step in each area that you prioritized and make it as small as you can. So for example, maybe you said, this will be the year I get clear about my, you know, what work I want to do. So the idea of finding a new career feels really overwhelming for many people. It's very big. It's not tangible at all. You don't maybe even know what goes into figuring that out. And setting a goal that's really big and overwhelming can, without any tangible broken down steps, sometimes will set you up for paralysis rather than action and success. So you've got your intention, which is sort of the big, huge goal. And for this step four, the idea is to just one tiny step for each of those areas. And so, for example, for find new career, if that's your big goal, maybe your very small step is email one person to ask for 15 minutes to pick their brain about what they like and don't like about their job. Or instead of improve my relationship with my mother, which is really vague and big, maybe it's call my mother this week. So the idea is to make this step as small as you can so that it's totally achievable. And I've seen this time and time and time again. As long as these little tiny steps are integrated with a bigger picture, in other words, as long as they're in service of your true big goal that you've carefully chosen by prioritizing and envisioning, taking one tiny step after one tiny step eventually gets you into huge momentum. And there will come a time, there will come a shift where suddenly an area where you were paralyzed and totally stuck, you are seeing more opportunities than you even have time to deal with. I've seen this over and over and over again. The thing is, it can be really hard to take those small steps. And sometimes we make our goals to, we set the big goal without breaking it down into tiny, tiny, tiny pieces. So it's really important to break it down into tiny pieces and to be specific about what the steps will be and make sure that it's something that's achievable and reasonable given the other things that you've got, that you have going on in your life. There are tons of resources for getting into action, breaking through procrastination, and managing your time to make changes at carriespaulding.com. This is a topic that I've got a lot of tips for you on that website at www.carriespaulding.com. So just to review, you are going to identify for each of those steps that you prioritize one step in each area. Make it as small as you can and as specific as you can. And check to make sure, is this integrated with that bigger picture? As in the example of, you know, find new career, and maybe the first step is email one person to ask to have a conversation with them about what they're doing. And there are a lot of other steps you could take for a new career. That's just one example, since I don't know your specific story. So the fifth step is to get support. And this can look like a lot of different things. One thing that can be really helpful when you're setting goals is to create some kind of accountability for yourself. So whether that means sharing your goal with a good friend or a family member, writing it down, promising it to yourself, and getting it out of just your head and into writing. It can all, support can also mean somebody who's going to really champion you and cheer you on. So that, again, that could be a supportive friend. It could be a parent. It could be a sibling. It could be a coach if you work with a coach, or many, many people start working with a coach in the new year because it's an exciting time to set goals. Or a therapist or any helping professional, it's really important to get that support and to get both the accountability that can come with support and the championing and cheerleading. So don't be afraid to share your goals, or if you are afraid, you can feel the fear and do it anyway. And you can really choose people who you know will support you. And you know, that doesn't mean, support doesn't mean completely agreeing with everything that you're doing. So, for example, with career change, sometimes the people, the friends and family in your life can be kind of scared of the idea of you changing your job because they want, you know, of course they're usually coming from a place of love and well-meaning, but it might be, they might have some of the same fears you do, and it can be really scary to think about how a career change might change things for them. So, or even, you know, they might be worried about you. So it's okay if your friends and supporters, your champions, don't 100% feel confident and feel like they want to agree with everything you say. But it is really important that you choose people to champion you who will believe in you and who will encourage you to make the steps that are best for you. So think about that when you're choosing a champion. And again, finding some outside support can be really helpful in holding you accountable, but also in really holding that belief in you. So just to review these steps, the first step is to, and actually the pre-first step is really just to know that 30-something panic is normal. It's totally normal. And having this time of year, if you're feeling like you're feeling behind or you didn't achieve what you thought you would or you're worried you're not going to figure it out, know that you're not alone. When you're ready to set some goals, first, mind the goals from the past year or years and think about how you want to tell the story of that year. So what did you learn? What are you proud of? What were the signposts that you were on or off path? Last year was the year that you fill in the blank. How did last year set you up perfectly to get where you're going? The second step is to take an inventory of who you are and how much energy you have been giving and you're currently giving to areas of your life. So looking at your values, looking at how whole your whole life is. Again, feel free to email me. And I should give you my email. It's carrie.spaulding@gmail.com, carrie.spaulding@gmail.com, if you want a couple of simple tools to look at your values and look at how whole your whole life is. And then create a vision. What actually define success. What would a 30 awesome life really mean to you? So do a goal spill. Ask yourself for each major area, what would the ideal look like? And give yourself time to really write out a vision plan in detail for your career, your home, your relationships, your health, your wellness, your fun and enjoyment. And then for this year, prioritize what's most important to you, what will have the biggest impact on everything else, and declare an intention. The fourth step is to identify one tiny step in each area you've prioritized. Make it as small as you can. You want to make it something that you can achieve in the first week of the new year. And, of course, then you can create another tiny step and then another tiny step. But ask yourself, instead of telling yourself, I have to finish, I have to do this, ask yourself, how can I start? What's the next little step I can take? And then, finally, the fifth step is to get support in the form of championing and accountability. And that support may include finding somebody to help you get really clear on all of these steps, help you create that vision, help you break them down into these things down into little pieces. And there are lots and lots of resources out there for you, both at carriespaulding.com and also on lots and lots of other websites. So remember that everything is Googleable, and don't forget to ask the internet for help with any of these things as well. So I would love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments on anything that you've heard today, if you find yourself drawing on what I've shared today, please email me and tell me about it. Tell me that you found me on the Life Coach Radio Network. I love hearing from listeners. And if you're looking for support for yourself, if you're looking for coaching in the new year, don't hesitate to reach out. I am currently accepting new clients, and while my specialty is working with 30-somethings, I do work with people of all ages, so don't be shy about reaching out. Before I sign off, I want to share a couple of things that are coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network. We have shows on almost every day and so many interesting topics. And we also have some sister networks, so I actually want to tell you about a show today at 2 p.m. Eastern on International Life Coach Radio, Exceeding Awesome with Lynn Burnett. And she is going to have the guest on Kate Anthony, who is a coach herself and is also going to be sharing today about how to help single moms weed through all the craziness of what a new life as a single mom is and find within themselves the amazing, powerful, and relentless rockin' love goddesses that they truly are. So Kate's specialty is working with single moms. And then that's on the International Life Coach Radio station. Then tomorrow at noon Eastern, we have Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success. He is going to be talking about 2014 goal setting as well. And you're going to get a chance to review your 2013 accomplishments, what worked, what didn't work, what we are going to look at 2014 and set direction, goals, and tools to continue to create, motivate, make fun, and grow our businesses. So Fun to Fortune is a show that always focuses on businesses and uncovering your fortune. So that is tomorrow at noon Eastern. Then on Thursday, January 2nd at 5 p.m. Eastern, we have Walk Your Talk, Leanne, Into the Heart of Gratitude. And Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach, is going to be joined by Russ Terry. Russ is our wonderful Life Coach Radio Network creator and executive producer. He's also a host on Life Coach Radio. And he's also the creator of the Life Coach Television Network. He's just written his first book, My Gratitude Journal,
365 days of people and things I'm grateful for and the lessons you can learn. And Russ is going to be a guest with Leanne, so definitely recommend you tune into that. You can hear me right here on the Life Coach Radio Network on the second and fourth Fridays of every month, almost always at noon Eastern time. There are occasional exceptions to that time. So I really encourage you to not just think about or you know, you've listened, you've taken the time, you've invested the time to listen to the show. So not just to say, okay, that was interesting, but to really take a step based on what you learned today, whether it's dedicating some time to really mining the gold from the last year and then going through the whole process, or even if it's just to pull out one part of what you heard that will support you in creating a 30 awesome year. All it takes on any given day and any given moment is one tiny step to get you into action, and then another tiny step, and then another tiny step. You can listen to this show again if you want to revisit some of these ideas, and you can reach out to me if you have any questions, and I'd love to hear from you. So once again, I'm Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach, and I invite you to visit www.carriespaulding.com. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach, on Twitter @SpaldingCarrie. And don't forget to tune in later today to the International Life Coach Radio and every day to the Life Coach Radio Network. I wish you a wonderful close of 2013 and a fantastic beginning of the new year, and really encourage you to make this year your own year of 30 awesome. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day.